Morning, family. I want to introduce a very special person to you in my life, and I was going to have him come up here, and I was going to tell you about him as he was here, but I'm afraid I would get too emotional to get through it. So, you can make a difference in one person's life. You can. Back in early 1990, I was attending MTSU, working third shift at a gas station, and I was just a 24-year-old guy who had no direction, no purpose in his life. My previous 10 years, as you all know, was filled with drugs and alcohol and bars and bad relationships, bands, just a lot of emptiness. And I believed in God, but I was turned off to organized religion and Christians in general. Grace Young came into my life in November of 1989. I started renting an apartment from her, and you all know how she reached out to me in love and eventually invited me to her church. So June 10th, 1990, I didn't know what to expect when I walked into the North Boulevard Church of Christ. I'd never been to a Church of Christ before. I was impressed with everything, but then this big fellow with red hair gets up. And I mean, he spoke with so much passion and enthusiasm. I thought, man, there is something to this Jesus guy. There is something to him. For somebody to be that excited about him. I'm afraid he spoke on Jesus is Alive. It's the resurrection, beyond a reasonable doubt, that series you did. I never forgot it. I started going to church there the whole summer of 1990, and eventually I find myself in his office having a Bible study, asking, what do I need to do to get my life right with God? I was baptized August 8th. He had the privilege of baptizing me August 8th, 1990, on a Wednesday night about 8:30. And Jesus Christ has completely transformed my life. And God called me to ministry at a very, not much into my Christian walk. God began to call me to ministry, and I was thankful that Jim was my mentor, my first 2 years in ministry. He's been a mentor for 24 years, but especially those first 2 years as a student minister at North Boulevard. Every minister has an Apostle Paul in their life. Timothy was his protege, if you want to say that. Jim is my Paul, and I'm his Timothy. And I know when Paul showed up in Ephesus, Timothy, I know, just glowed with joy when he was able to introduce him. He has walked with me every step of these 24 years of ministry, and I'm grateful to have him as a father in the faith. He's been in ministry for 40 years. He has preached in churches in Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, and he's currently the pulpit minister at the Wheeler Road Church of Christ in Midland, Michigan. Great church, great group of folks there. We've been there. Jim has two children, Darren and Kim. He and his wife, Mary, have four grandchildren. And before he comes, let's pray. Let's pray together. Lord God Almighty, thank you. Thank you for the Pauls in our lives, the people that introduced us to you. For all of us in this room cannot say that we did not come to faith without someone introducing us to him. And Lord, today I just pray that you will anoint Jim, fill him with your Spirit. May his preaching be a demonstration of the Spirit's power. I pray that I thank you for the gifts you've given him, and I pray that he will glorify you today. Then, Lord, that you will speak through him. Be honored today, Lord, in everything. In Jesus' name, amen. It's my honor to introduce Jim Chilton.
Thank you, Chris. Really appreciate that. This is one of the reasons I'm in ministry is people like Chris. When you begin ministry, you hope you can have an impact on people's lives, but to come here and to be in a church where he's working, trying to get this on, And seeing the love that is here and seeing his imprint on this church means a great deal to me. We live in a world today that says that success is what you accomplish. And Chris has accomplished a lot. He's went to school, got his master's. Did you get a second one yet? He thought about that one, all right. He has served in Brazil. He has served in Africa. He is one of these rare people that says, Lord, I'm available. And it doesn't hurt to have a wife like Teresa, who reminds him every once in a while, you're available, Chris. All right. But success is not what we accomplish. Success is what we overcome. And when I met him, I forgot the year it was, 1990. I knew there was something special about him. And I remember telling myself I need to pay special attention to this young man because the Lord has a plan for him, and the Lord indeed has a plan for him, and you have been witnessing that here in this church. He has blessed my life in numerous ways. It's been my honor to be his Paul. I'm not qualified to be his Paul, but I'm honored that he looks at me in that way. I'm certainly old enough to be your Paul. But I bring you greetings today from the Wheeler Road Church in Midland, Michigan. I don't know, it's about 650 miles due north of here. I want to recognize a couple of my good friends from Murfreesboro. Bill Little and his wife Ruby have come down from the North Boulevard Church. They've been friends since the 80s. They have enriched my life. I've been in their home many times, and it's always a blessing to come. It's a blessing to travel and to be in the presence of people who are on the same journey as we are. Let me try this thing out right here, see if it's going to work. You say it's this one right here, right? All right. Do I have to aim it anywhere?
Nope.
All right. Well, I went too far. Okay. When we come and gather on the first day of the week, one of the things we're trying to accomplish is to refresh our hearts in God's grace and his mercy. We come here to hit the reset button. We get beat up by the world. We come dragging in here because of mistakes that we have made. We are burdened with all kinds of family problems, maybe financial problems. So we come here to refresh our hearts in God's grace, in his power, and his mercy. A few weeks ago, I was in a meeting, and one of the fellows was becoming very frustrated because his iPhone wasn't working. It was freezing up on him. The calendar would not allow him to enter a date. And so he takes it and he throws it down on the table and says, hey, John, what are you doing? He says, this phone is junk. And I said, well, what's wrong with it? And he told me, and I said, give it to me. I said, let me reboot it. He said, what's rebooting it? I said, how long have you had the phone? 2.5 years. He had never shut it off or rebooted it. So I pushed 2 buttons and rebooted it, got it to the calendar, slid it back to him, and it works just great. By the way, if you have an iPhone, you need to reboot it once a week, all right? And sometimes as Christians, we forget we need to reboot. We get so burdened with all the things that are happening in our lives, we forget there's some buttons we need to push. There are some fellowships that we need to renew. There are some engagements that we need to experience in order to be able to experience God's grace and God's mercy in our lives. Well, our text today comes from Genesis chapter 28. And if you have a Bible, I invite you to turn there. I'm going to read a few verses. And a story that you are very familiar with, but hopefully there will be some principles that will pop out that you can see that you can engage in your life today. Jacob left Beersheba, verse 10. He set out for Haran. And when he reached this certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. And taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and he lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and of the God of Isaac, and I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and also to the east and the north and the south, and all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Well, when Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? There's none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Let's pray. Holy Father, please be with your servant today as he unpacks this passage. May your Spirit direct us. May our eyes be open, Father, to those truths that can bless us to enrich our walk and our fellowship with you. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. One day, a father told a little boy, he says, hey, he says, let's go for a bike ride, just you and me. And he says, hey, Daddy, that'd be great, let's do it. So they went for this ride, they had their helmets on, and they're going through the streets and all through a park, and after a little while, Dad starts getting a little tired. Little boy, he wants to keep going. So they keep going, and the father's thinking how tired he is and how he needs to be refreshed. So he says, hey, he says, had to slow him down somehow. He says, what do you think if we stop and get an ice cream cone? The little boy said, that'd be great. So they stop this little ice cream store. There was no place to park the bikes in the front of the store, so they parked it behind the store. And they went in and got their ice cream cones. And they, as soon as they got the ice cream cones, they came out real quickly because they couldn't lock the bikes up. And he went around the store where the bikes were, and it wasn't a very nice place. It was the back of the store. There was a dumpster there. There was a run-down, weather-beaten picnic table. There was matted-down grass, but there was no place to go, and that's where the bikes were. So they're sitting there at the table, and they're licking their ice cream cones. And about halfway through the cone, little boy looks up at his dad, and he says, this is a beautiful place, Daddy. And the dad's kind of looking around. He can smell the dumpster. And he's getting ready to correct him. And all of a sudden, it dawned on him. He said, you know, he's not talking about the environment here. He's talking about his experience. And I want to tell you today that one of the great tragedies of modern life is we're unaware of God's presence. We're unaware that God is in this place. Life may be stinking like that dumpster. You may be around matted down grass and a weather, you know, born picnic table, and things may not really look like Jesus to you in your life. But the message today is God is in this place. And I want to tell you that you don't need to have a miracle. You don't need to have a burning bush. You don't need to have a near-death experience to know that the Lord is in His place. He is in your place. And we need to be more sensitive. We need to be more aware that He is indeed that. Well, Jacob didn't get it at first. He's having this dream. And at first it doesn't dawn on him that, you know, the Lord would be anywhere around him, because this guy is on the run. He had done some very terrible things to his family. And he's on his way to Uncle Laban's family. He thinks it's going to be a good experience. The Lord knows he needs something there. And it's the same way it is with you and me. We think, you know, when we start categorizing and processing all the things that we have done that constitute our failures in this life, we think God doesn't want anything to do with us. But just like Jacob, who was shocked, the Lord is in this place. In Luke chapter 5 and verse 8, the Lord had done just wonderful miracle of the great catch of fish. Peter realized whose company he was in at that time, and he makes the statement. He says, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." He realized that only God could do what just happened. And he realized he was just a blue-collar fisherman, that there was a lot of things that he didn't have down in his life. And the Lord needed to get away from him because, you know, the Lord doesn't keep bad company, if you know what I mean. But I want to tell you today, and my message to you today, is Jesus was not spooked by Peter's sins. Jesus was not only not spooked by his sins that he had committed to this point, but he knew what was going to come in the future. If I knew you were going to betray me, I'm not sure I want to go to lunch with you today. But Jesus knew that he was going to betray him. Jesus knew that he was going to be denied by this apostle. And yet Jesus was not spooked away by that sin. And I want to tell you today, no matter what you have been guilty of, no matter what you've been processing over the year and praying over and over again, somehow the Lord would forgive and forget. I want to tell you today, if you heard nothing else, Jesus is not spooked by our sins. The Lord is in this place. I don't know about you, when I read the Gospels, I have hope. I'm thankful that he selected imperfect individuals. Most of them couldn't be hired by many of our churches. But Jesus said, "Peter, it's okay. I am not spooked." So my message is really clear to you today. The Lord is here. He's in your life. And one of the things that the Lord is amazed at is why you're not aware that he is right there in your life. So let's consider Jacob a little bit. He had a few problems. He was a liar, a fraud, and a cheat. Other than that, he was a good candidate. Right? I have to believe sometimes when they're in heaven and they're unfolding this and they're inspiring people to do things. I mean, don't tell me God doesn't have a sense of humor. All right? So he's a liar, a fraud, and a cheat, but he's going to be a leader of the greatest nation ever. Not too bad. And by the way, when we go to heaven, one of the first sights we will see when we Revelation tells us there are these 12 gates. And they're named after 12 sons. And they have a little something to do with this guy, Jacob, who was a liar, a fraud, and a cheat. Thank God for the grace and for the hope we have. So he's on his way to Uncle Laban's. He's going to find a wife, but he's going to find out it cost a little bit to find a wife at Uncle Laban's house. But on his way, he has to sleep. And he's not comfortable here. You got to remember, Esau was the outdoor guy. Esau was the one that had the four-wheel drive, had the gun rack. He fished, he hunted, you know, he did all that stuff. He couldn't cook, all right? But he was the outdoorsman. And so now Jacob, who was the inside guy, he's on the outside, and he's not comfortable being here, I guarantee you. And I want to tell you today, that Jesus Christ, when he's making changes in your life, when he's ready to appear to you, when he's ready to make movement in your heart, he will take you to places you are not comfortable. I don't know about you, I shut down. I'm not comfortable here, Lord. When I get comfortable, I'll be more receptive. All right. I had a preacher one time call me. He wanted some advice. He said, I've been offered this job. I said, well, praise God, that's great. He says, no, it's not so great. He said, don't have air conditioning. God help me, I won't tell you what I told him. I said, don't have air conditioning. He said, auditorium's not air conditioning. He said, I can't preach without air conditioning. I said, dude, you're talking to the wrong guy today. God wants us to be uncomfortable. Because in our discomfort, there will be dreams, and there will be opportunities, and there will be blessings that will absolutely electrify our lives. He wasn't a very good prospect, but God said, I think I want to bless you, Jacob. I think I have some ideas for you that will change your life and will change all of the world. The real message of Christianity is grace, not guilt. I can't tell you how many years before it finally dawned on me that this was really the reality of what real Christianity is all about. I grew up as a young boy, baptized at the scriptural age of 12. I went to church, two songs and a prayer, another song, communion, all right? I mean, I went to the right church, but I was taught you got to push the right buttons and you need to have the right company and say the right words and dress the right way and go to the right school. And if everything is right, maybe then God will bless you. But the real message of the gospel is not about pushing all the right buttons, because no one here pushes all of them. Message of the gospel of Jesus Christ is grace. Don't take my word for it. Review the life of the one that would begin a nation that would change the history of all the world. A liar, a cheat, a fraud. Thank you for the grace of Jesus Christ. Lay down your stone as your place of hardship. He didn't have any idea how special that stone was going to be that night. He propped it down there and he laid his head against it. And I want to tell you, there are some hard places right now in your life. I don't know everybody's history here, but I guarantee you in this audience, there are individuals going through some really crushing times. And I want to tell you to lay down that stone and allow that stone to be your life marker as a reminder to you that God was in this place. He revealed himself to me. He refreshed my heart. And he gave me a new song and a new word and a new direction that would change the direction of my life. We know this is true, especially in the case of John chapter 4, a brother mentioned at the table, the Samaritan woman. She had a few things going for her that were not right. She was the wrong race. She was the wrong gender. She was in an immoral relationship. She had 5 failed marriages. Other than that, she was a great lady. And Jesus was in her place. She just goes to the well one day. She goes when no one else is there. She's ashamed and she knows her reputation is not what it ought to be. And see, she goes at a time when she's not going to be harassed. And this man is there and he talks to her, and not only talks to her, changes her life completely. She had no idea at the time, the Lord is in this place. And whatever shame you carry today, whatever burden you have in your heart today because of yesteryear, you need to remember the well. You need to go and be refreshed. And you need to claim this promise that Jesus can be in this place of pain. He did it also in John chapter 8. Woman was not only a sinner, she was a fresh sinner. All right, we got her. Oh, I love to read the theologians, what they think Jesus wrote in the dirt here. I got a sermon on that, by the way. I can't do it right now, though. I believe I know what he wrote. And I don't have the direct operation of the Holy Spirit, but someday we may share that, all right? Here's a woman who's fresh in her sin. And Jesus is not only in her place, he defends her. Why do we have these examples by the Holy Spirit? Are they for Sunday school? Sure. But they're for real life experiences that we have today, because like the woman at the well, like the woman caught in the act of adultery, we are sinners in need of the grace of Jesus Christ. Judges 16. What was God thinking? Samson. Here this he-man with a she-weakness. Here this guy, he's got this sex problem, and he's undisciplined. Other than that, he's a pretty good servant of God. And yet he's praying to God. He has the audacity. His eyes are gouged out. He's been caught doing what the Lord told him not to do. His secret is revealed. He knows he's going to die. He has the audacity to pray to the God of heaven who gave him the gift of strength. And you want to know something? You're not going to believe it. God listened to that prayer. And God allowed him to die in dignity. And by the way, if you have any doubts, sometime just kind of turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. He's in the hall of fame of the what? The faithful. That's got to be a misprint. Somewhere down through the translation somewhere, somebody slipped. Oh, no. Someday, you will meet Samson in heaven. He'll have his eyes. And he'll be standing next to you praising the Lord that saved him from his sins. Well, how do we get there? You say, okay, Jim, I want to be refreshed. I want to push the button. I want to be able to be in a situation where I can say, you know, like Jacob here, he says, you know, the Lord is in this place. How do we do it? Well, first of all, we got to wake up. If you look at verse number 16 again, he says, when Jacob awoke from his sleep, Jacob needed to wake up. He needed to wake up to the fact that God does not overlook our sins, but he looks beyond our sins. Jacob wasn't off the hook. He had Uncle Laban he had to deal with for over 14 years. But he was forgiven. And God is able to look beyond our sins. He doesn't say, well, you know, it never happened in your life. There's no discipline that needs to take place in your life. Discipline will come. But our Lord is able to look beyond that. We need to wake up to that. Secondly, see if this will go. Yep. We need to reclaim his promise. Look at these words again. For Jacob, here's the promise. God said in the dream, I am with you, I will watch over you, and wherever you go, I will not leave until I have done what I have promised you. That's great. Love it. That's Jacob. That's not me. Good. Well, for you and me, it reads like this, Romans 8. And we know all things God works for good for those that love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Hebrews 13. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. But I want you to notice that the Holy Spirit uses the words all things. That means my pain. That means my disappointment, my depression, my disease, my dead marriage, my messed up finances, my weaknesses. In all of these things, God will never leave or forsake you. But we also need to get back to God's plan. And I want to read to you what David had to say concerning this, because he needed this. He says in Psalm 25, he says, show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your path. Guide me in your truth and teach me. He's asking God to teach him. For you are God, my Savior. My hope is in you all day long. Remember, O Lord, your great mercy and your love, for they are from old. Remember not the sins, the stupidity, the mistakes of my youth. According to your love, remember me, for you are good
O Lord.
David got back on track. Jacob got back on track. And you and I, at any point in our lives when we are serious about following Jesus, can go to that same path of restoration. Now, here's the deal. I always end my messages with this part, this kind of summarize. I'm not going to go back over the points, but I'm going to tell you exactly what I want to tell you here. Our sin is not the whole story. Now, the evil one, he wants it to be the whole story. He hounds us, he harasses us, he reminds us. We are told he's the great accuser. And so we can't go very far in the midst of the day or the work week or whatever, or when we lose our temper and we're reminded what a bad person we are. We can't go very long before Satan reminds us what a loser we are. But we need to remember from this story, and we need to remember why this text is in the Bible for you and I to read thousands of years later. Sin is not the whole story because God still showed up. Secondly, the Lord was in that place, but Jacob did not stay there. Now, you know, if I had been Jacob, I'd have been tempted. I mean, look, he hadn't experienced there. I mean, that stone would have been a holy stone to me. I would have started the Hard Rock Church of Christ. And I'd have gone out and, you know, surveyed the area and got people to come to my... That's where the Lord was. He was there last night and he spoke to me. I don't want to go anywhere. But God did not want Jacob to stay there. And I want to tell you that many times when God comes into your place, wherever it is, matted down grass, in your car on the way home, in your cubicle at work, wherever it is, he does not want you to stay there. The early church wanted to stay there. There were miracles. It was great. Great worship service every Sunday. Acts 8 tells us there was a persecution came and it scattered them everywhere. And as they went, they preached the word. So the Lord may be prompting you to go to that place of discomfort. But for sure, he does not want you to stay in the place where you are right now. Now back to the little boy. I love this story. This is a beautiful place, Daddy. And I want to tell you today, wherever you are, no matter how hard it is, this is a beautiful place. Because the Lord is in this place. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. There may be individuals here that need to come to ask special prayers to be renewed in their life, to be restored to the Lord, just like Jacob was. There may be individuals who want to come for baptism. This is our time to encourage you, but we want to tell you that there may be something you're struggling with right now and you're not ready right now to go down the aisle. We'd like for you to do that. But after lunch, you can call Chris. You can call one of the shepherds here. I would dare say 90% of all the baptisms I have done over 40 years have been late in the day. People calling me in the middle of the night. They don't want to sleep another night until they've had a prayer and they feel they're right with the Lord. But we want you to be right. And you can be right. Because the Lord is in this place. Why don't you come right now as together we sing.
The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never